Over the Sundays, in preparation for our Easter, we've been preparing our hearts to understand what our purpose in life is. And I don't know about you, but before I had an opportunity to place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that was very much of a concern to me was this. What was my purpose for life? Why was I here? As we've looked over the last couple of Sundays, we've been able to determine a little bit of information regarding to that. The first thing that we've looked at as far as a purpose is that one of our purposes is this, is to bring pleasure to God. And when I was able to understand that one of the reasons that I was here was that I didn't have to try to develop a life that pleased other individuals or one that really made me happy in per se, but that I could have a purpose to please the Holy God, that gave me great hope and a great encouragement. The second item that was of great help to me as I started getting my life involved with a body of individuals who believed this first item was to understand that God's other purpose for me is to belong to God. I was a quiet individual and didn't talk very much to individuals and didn't really get into the issue of philosophizing with other people or bouncing things off them. But one of the things that often I wondered is, why am I here? I don't feel like I fit. I don't feel like I belong. Sometimes I would look at other individuals in my age group and say, I am so different from them. Why am I this way? How do I fit in with them? How do I fit in with life? And so the element of discovering how I can belong to God and what's God's plan to help me belong to Him was also a great help to me. And that's what our goal is today, is to talk about the element of belonging to God. I'd like us to unite our hearts together in prayer and then embark on a brief study on what it is to belong to God and what He uses as an instrument to help us better belong to Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the privilege of being able to share with the folks here today Your Word. Lord, I thank You for the wonderful support we have received in prayer over this week in preparation for this time, the many activities and works of the hands of individuals to prepare for our time together, that ensure that ministry goes on in the various other areas. Father, I ask that You will help us to be able to now concentrate our time on Your Word right now, that it might unfold to us that which is necessary to drive our lives, to develop other areas of our life. We may not conclude that this is all there is to developing a relationship with You and being strengthened in our walk with You. Father, I ask that You will use me as Your instrument for Your honor and glory, and I pray in Jesus' precious name, amen. Many years ago, they came out with this neat little contraption. Maybe you have some yourself, but I've had this one for a long time. But this is my calculator. And you can do a lot of neat things with a calculator. I discovered that you can take and you can add 1 to 2... to 3, to 4, and you can just keep on adding and adding and adding. You get all sorts of neat things on here. And I also discovered that if I wanted to find out like how many, if I had 5 of groups of 6 things, I can go 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5. And I can come up with 30. And it's really a neat tool of how it works. Isn't that great how that works? That you can have a tool and there's a lot of things I can do with the plus sign on here. And I don't know if you've ever really thought about it, but your calculator is a wonderful thing having that plus sign on there. You can just do so many things with the plus sign on that calculator. I mean, it's just a really neat tool with that plus sign on the calculator. But you know, sometimes what someone told me is that there's other functions on this calculator other than the plus sign. And that if I bought this calculator just for the plus sign, that I would be missing out on some of the functions. And I want to look at this calculator somewhat like what we do sometimes with church, is that we try to get all that we can out of one of the functions that the church is and wonder why it's just not all adding up to what we want to have and why it isn't giving us the full benefit. So the question would be, as we look at this plus sign, is there something we're missing in regard to some of the functions in our lives in regard to the church? And I think one of those functions deals with this issue of belonging. Let me just answer a few questions or situations that when I kind of look through the element of belonging and feeling like the functions working in my life, here's a couple questions I have. What helps me belong? You ever thought about that? When you thought about belonging to something, whether it be a club or an activity or a team, what helps you feel like you're part of it? What helps you feel like you're really assimilated or a part? Here's four things that I came up with, and maybe one or two, or maybe all four will apply to you, but I think each of them are important as we look at God's design for belonging. First of all, there is an identification with and by the group. But somehow, that whether I wear a t-shirt that identifies me with the group, or a badge, or something, helps me feel like when I am with that group, I feel like I belong with it, that there's some way that I'm connected with that group by identification. Second area is there is an interdependence with those to whom I'm involved. It's not an issue where everybody there is dependent upon me and that it, or I'm dependent on all of them and that's it. But it is that concept that I feel like we're kind of in it together. And it's not just one person driving the show and I'm along for the ride, or that I'm the one driving and everybody else is along for the ride. This is kind of a concept of interdependence that I sense that I'm a part of this team or this group, and we kind of feed off each other. Some in the corporate world call it an element of synergy, where putting the individuals together develops some kind of give and take and things happen. That goes into the third thing, that there's a mutual improvement as we each participate. I don't like to be told that I need to get better, but I like it when I sense I'm getting better. I don't want anybody to really point out what things I need to change, but I like it when I see things changing and getting better in my life. And it's exciting to be a part of a group or a club or something that when I'm a part of it, that I feel that when I'm done investing in it, that I'm better. That my time has been worth putting into it, that I'm better. And not only that, that while I'm there, that other people might be getting better, that I've contributed something to that, so that there's this mutual benefit for me being there. That I'm not one who, even though at my core I'm somewhat selfish, but I'm not one who wants to just go into something so I can just get everything out of it and everybody else is my servant. But I have this desire that if I show up, that somebody else is going to benefit from it as well. And then the fourth thing that came to my mind as I thought about what helps me feel like I belong is the fact that there's some kind of product or some kind of impact that's taking place. Not just to sit there and put my time in, but I like the idea that when I invest my time, and maybe you do too, that when you invest your time, that when you're done, you feel like it's made a difference. And not just a selfish difference like I'm better or the people I'm with better, but somehow our group has had some kind of impact. And people that are not in our group, that for some reason, now that when me and my other individuals in my group have done what we're supposed to do, other people are going to benefit, or something else is going to happen. Those are the four things that when I look at my life, and when I look at things that I really get excited about, and I feel like, and I can say, I belong, those are four things that come to my mind. That there's an identity that I feel like when people see me and see that group, they can tell we belong with each other. There's that element of the interdependence that I sense that, you know, we kind of need each other. That we're growing with each other and that we're impacting the lives of other individuals. So with that in mind, I'd like us to look at what God's tool is for His sense of belonging. And when God says that His purpose for us is not only to please Him, but He's got a purpose that we might belong, He has given us a tool for that. He has decided how the best way for His children to have those four different elements, and more others, no doubt, but these four that I've chosen to highlight today, that He has set up a tool, a structure, however you want to say it, that helps us to feel or to be in that state of belonging. God's tool for belonging. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and we'll be looking at several passages of Scripture this morning, but Acts chapter 2 is the history of the early church. In Matthew chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 18 in the Gospels, Jesus said, I will build my church, and in my church certain things will happen. Well, in Acts chapter 2, we start seeing the unfolding of what that church is all about as the disciples were getting together, and they spent all that time in prayer and asking for God to continue to work in their lives. And Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and that He would start His church, and they prayed and they prayed. And in Acts chapter 2, we have the description of how it all took place. And so we have snapshots of the early church and what was so essential to them. And here's one of the things that it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now the word saved essentially means this. It says that the apostles, the disciples, were sharing the word of God that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, was buried and rose again, and that if you believe in Him, you can have eternal life. That's what the gospel was. And the disciples were sharing that word that if you have a personal relationship with God, placing your faith in Jesus Christ, if you believe in that, then that's what the term saved means. So when individuals believe that, then they were added into this group daily. They were growing. People were getting so excited about what was going on in that early church because people's lives were being transformed, and there was this sense of belonging. There was a sense that they'd been on the outside wondering what's going on, and people would be peering in, seeing lives change, and people were excited, and things going on. They said, what's in there? What's in there? And when they were exposed to the gospel and the truth of what Jesus Christ was all about, they wanted to be a part of it. And it says that they were added daily to the church. The word church just simply means a called out group of individuals. Called out by God and a group. Not any fancy word, it just means a group. This building is not the church. The church is a group of people. We call it the church building or the place where we might assemble. But the church is not a building. A church is a people. And so what they were talking about here is they were added to the group, and there was a sense of belonging. Now let's look at the four things I've introduced earlier, starting with the word identity. If there was a great identification that went on with these individuals, and how do I identify with Jesus? Let me just share a little bit what took place back in Acts chapter 2. One of the first things that they did after they placed their faith in Jesus Christ is they wanted to be identified with Jesus Christ. And that identification was done through an act that was called baptism. Now the word baptism in our day has got so many different concepts with it, but basically the word baptism is a word that was brought forth from the Greek language that is actually baptizo, which has the idea of dipping or immersing. But the word baptism and baptizo or immersion or dipping or whatever all have the idea of representation or being identified. And so when the disciples shared the word with the individuals who were there that wanted to belong to the body of Christ, it was foretold long ago that by John the Baptist that said, I baptize you with water. One's going to come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is going to come in. And that issue that we were going to be immersed into the Holy Spirit. But there's also that element that even those who were baptized by John the Baptist for being identified with their changing repentance towards what was coming, they were also baptized after that, once they placed their faith in Jesus Christ, to be identified with what Jesus Christ was doing. So that there was a clear identification with Jesus Christ. And so in Matthew, when it talks about going through all the world and make disciples, baptizing them, that's not a process of washing away sins. It's not a process of causing someone to have some major change take place in their life. It's just simply an identification with what Jesus Christ had done. We believe, as we look at it, from the fact that the baptism of the immersion going down being a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so when I placed my faith in Jesus Christ many years ago, shortly thereafter made a decision to be baptized, I believe with all my heart that my baptism did not wash away any of my sins. Jesus Christ washed away my sins. But I believe that it's my chance to show other people that I'm identified with Jesus Christ. And believe me, when the people back in Acts chapter 2 decided to be baptized, that was a message to all the people around that I'm identifying with what Jesus Christ has done. And for some of them, they lost their jobs. For some of them, they lost the relationships with people that were in their family because when they identified with this group of believers, which some called the Way, which some called the Christians, which some called the sect, and all these various things that were derogatory, that the baptism was their way of saying, I'm identifying with what Jesus has said. And for us today, that hasn't changed. That when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, one of those things that it says that when they were gladly received the Word, trusted Jesus as their Savior, they were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. In Acts 2:41. That is one of the key areas where we're identified with Jesus Christ. And along with that was the issue of you know, they were added to the church. And there's that identification of the baptism and church membership of identifying with Jesus Christ and saying, hey, I belong. And back for them, there was a lot of persecution that might have come along with that. Back for them, there was made some major choices. And I think for us, it may not cost us as much, for the most of us, but it does communicate to many much that we believe, not that it's our works that's going to get us into heaven, but it's that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and my baptism is a sign to other individuals that I want to be identified with Jesus Christ in what He has done. Another element of identification is just simply by showing up. Sometimes, you know that old phrase, guilt by association, that you show up with different individuals, you get associated with them, you hang with me, what are people going to think about you? You know, kind of thing. And that there's that identity, and in Hebrews chapter 10, there's that encouragement among those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. That one of the things that we need to do is stir up one another. Do you like individuals who stir some things up? I don't. I like people who don't stir things up for the most part. But the Bible says that we have the responsibility of stirring one another up. And that we have a responsibility of making sure we don't get lackadaisical, lethargic. And that's one of the things we church people can do so well, isn't it? And we just are so great at becoming... You know? It's so great at becoming much of nothing. And that's why God has said it's our responsibility to stir one another up. But He says it in this way. He says, don't forsake assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He said some people were forsaking. The word forsaking means they're putting it away. They weren't taking up and doing it regularly. They were just taking it haphazardly. They were not ambitious to say, I need to be with other believers and spend time with them. And that element of identity is very closely linked to spending time. One of the things that allows us to feel like we are identified with something is the fact that we spend time with those individuals. And that time helps us to develop that sense of belonging. What goes along with that is found in John 13:35. Jesus was working with His disciples. They were all having an issue. Well, I can't say all of them were, but I think majority of them were. They were having an issue. The issue was, who's going to be the greatest among them? The issue, who's going to be the leader? You know, we're part of this core group of 12 people. Do you ever get in groups like that? Or you think that, boy, I'm towards the center, you know, and I'm becoming a big fish in this small pond here, that the small group. And they were, you know, each one of them were 1 of 12, and they were in this, you know, that when they would come with the groups of the 5,000 or whatever, think about that, 5,000 people sitting there and listening to Jesus Christ. I'm one of the 12 that's kind of handing out the bread and the fish and all that kind of stuff. I'm one of the 12 who gets to carry a basket. I'm one of the 12 who gets to stick with them when the rest of you guys got to go home. And all this was really getting into the heads of them, and they were concerned about, well, of the 12 now, who's going to be in the top 3? Or the top 2? You know, you're never satisfied. You want to just keep on moving your way up and getting closer to the, you know, to the top. And they were wrestling with it. And John chapter 13 kind of describes how Jesus dealt with that. As he said, if you're going to be great, what you've got to learn how to do is serve. So he takes out the towel and he takes out the wash basin. He goes and washes all the dirty feet and all that type of stuff. And they're all going, well, this isn't what I had in mind, because I certainly didn't want to wash Peter's feet or this or that or whatever. And they all had this idea that that greatness was different. And Jesus says, that's not greatness. Greatness is being willing to serve. And in the midst of all that, he says this, here's how people will know that you're identified with me. The word disciple is someone who is following the leadership of another individual. You can almost say it's a disciple is one who is mentored. A disciple is one who is becoming like the person who is discipling him. And Jesus says, if you want to be known or identified as someone who is following me, and people will look at you and say, hey, you're just like your master, Jesus, he says, this is the characteristic. The characteristic is, by this they all know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That you not jockey for position of who's going to be the leader, that you not argue and bite and devour each other, that instead you have love for one another. And I share with you, if you're going to be identified with a group of individuals from this vantage point, that people will be able to point out and say, hey, I know you're a believer. I can tell. Well, how? I just notice how much you love other people who are believers. I mean, it's just so obvious that you love other people that are believers. You don't talk bad about them. You aren't backbiting them. You aren't fighting with them all the time. And said, this is how I know. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the things that was taking place in the early church, is the people in the world would look and see how this great, diverse group of people, individuals who didn't even speak the same language, thus the speaking in tongues, so people from all different languages would hear the gospel in their own tongue, and all of a sudden now they become a part of a church of 3,000 plus, and you're sitting there thinking, okay, now we've got to find some common ground. Common ground, Jesus Christ, okay, ends about there. So how do I, you know, and all the love that they start showing for each other, and people looked in and said, hey, I can tell there's something different about this group. There's something different about them. They love each other. Hey, that person just sold all their land and gave the money they got from that land to help cover the expenses of these other individuals that lost everything that they had because they placed their faith in Christ. And people are saying, this is radical stuff. This is love. And that they say, these are obvious followers of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to commend to us is that if we are going to be known that way, we've got to spend time with other believers. We got to be willing to get into the lives of other believers. You can't express love long distance. And so therefore, if there's any testing ground for love, to where unconditional love might be there, in your workplace, you kind of got a common goal there. You all want to survive. You kind of got to get along because, you know, you're hired there. In your family, you got to kind of put up with stuff because, you know, hey, your family. You just can't, you know, I mean, you got to put up with. Even in your neighborhood, sometimes you have to put up with your neighbors, whatever they might be and stuff. But in the church, man, things don't go right. I can just take off and go someplace else. You know, there's another 120 churches in the area. Just go to one of the others. I don't have to put up with this stuff. I'll go someplace else. But God says in the church is a genuine testing ground for unconditional love because there's very little common ground in many of the cases. If you went and tried to find a church that fit everything, that fit your personality, you can bounce from place to place to place. And if you did, then you'd find a place that has a bunch of people just like you. And how boring that would be. But the diversification and realization that the people come from different backgrounds, have different habits, have different intellectual capacities, have different hobbies, have different spiritual maturities, and all these things thrown in together with the different gifts. And it's a testing ground for love. It's a testing ground to see if I can unconditionally love you, not because you're like me, not even because you like me, but because God tells me to, and that becomes a sign of whether or not I am a follower of Jesus Christ, which leads into this concept of interdependence. Our love that we have for each other is understanding the fact that we have this interdependence upon each other, what Jesus calls the body. That we don't have any choice. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, John the Baptist said we'd be baptized, immersed into something. You know what we're immersed into? This thing called the body of Christ. That regardless of whether you want to be or not, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you are connected with other individuals. And you don't have a choice to say, well, I don't want to be a part of that body. You don't have that choice. Sorry. The Bible says, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you become a part of the body. Now, that may not mean that you have to be a part of this part of the body, as far as the local church, but as far as the church as a whole, of all those who have placed their faith in Christ, that is the body. And it says this about it in Romans chapter 12. It says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, not all plus signs, okay, for that matter, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. It's talking about the element of recognizing the fact that not everybody's got to be like me, but because of that, great things can happen, and that my needs that I have are being fulfilled by the abilities of other individuals, and the needs of other individuals are being fulfilled by me. And then I start recognizing that just as my physical body, and I'm not much into biology or anything like that, or anatomy and all, but some of you have that kind of background, done some study in regard to that, and you actually understand that there's various systems within the body. There's one that takes our blood all over the place, and there's one that takes our nerves and go all over the place. There's one that's called our skin that, you know, wraps us up so everything doesn't just fall out all over the place. All these things might be considered independent systems, but they have to work interdependently, or else you're going to have some problems. Well, the pain receptors aren't telling the body that, like, you know, things are on fire or things are in great pain or in damage or whatever. Then you know, tissue is destroyed and it's not fixed. And so the body has a lot of responsibility of being interdependent with each other. And so when God says that's what He pictures us as, hands, feet, noses, ears, all sorts of different things working together, different as different can be, realizing that there's that interdependence. And just as my hands have to have the help of other areas of my body, and my stomach has to depend on my hands. Because if I don't get the hands are pretty instrumental in bringing the food to the mouth, and the mouth has to coordinate with the hands, and it all works down. Anybody getting hungry yet? But it all works down to where the stomach finally gets what the mind has said it needs, because the eyes have looked at it and said, that looks good, and the nose has smelled it and said, that smells good, and the mouth says, I want to taste it, and the hands have to coordinate with all the other things and put it in there, and goes down to the stomach, and the stomach finally says, hey, wait a minute, you're giving me too much. And then it grumbles all the rest of the time afterwards. But the coordination of the body. And that's what God is saying is so critical in our interdependence with each other, is realizing that we do indeed fit in. And although we may not feel like we fit in, we still are an important part of the body. And it is not based upon how we feel, it's based on the fact that God has said, I am part of the body. If I don't feel like I'm part of the body, maybe something needs to be done on my part to get to where I am fitting in with the body, that I'm recognizing that I am needed in this body to perform a particular function, that I need the others in the body so that I can be stronger. Next word we want to look at is that element of improvement, because one of the things in regard to interdependence, there's really not much value of interdependence if there's no hope of improvement. Otherwise, we just sit there and look at each other and say, I got needs, you got needs, you fulfill my needs, I fulfill your needs, we're all happy. There's got to be some kind of goal in regard to it. And how do we know that goal is taking place? God talks about an element of improvement in our life. In the Colossians chapter 2, and for those of you that have been involved with the Navigator series, it was called the 2-7 series, Growing Strong God's Family, Growing Deep, Deepening Your Roots, and bearing fruit. All this is built upon this passage. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. The encouragement that we ought to be improving, that my experience in the body of Christ ought to be causing me to become better. That when I get done, whether it's with a service or a week or a month or a quarter or a year, that I can sit and say that my investment of time has bore some fruit in my own life. That I feel like I'm getting better than what I was before. God never intended for individuals to place their faith in Christ and just sit and just get information. He never intended that. He intended for us to get the information for the purpose of improving our life. Folks, the Scriptures is complete with so many different things that allow us to see how we should be. And it's not enough just to say, I place my faith in Jesus Christ and that, I'm not doing some of the same old things I used to do. There's no element of resting on our laurels. One of the greatest leaders in the New Testament, by the name of Paul, said, I do not count myself to have arrived. And I don't rest on my laurels, in my paraphrase. But I press forward, constantly wanting to see my life improved for Jesus Christ. That I want to see my life improved to accomplish various things. And that concept of building in my life doesn't end. You don't get to a place where you're in your 60s or 70s and you decide, I'm built. It doesn't happen. One of the things that impressed me at Blair Ridge Baptist Church is to work with some of our dear leaders of our church that have been leaders for several years and that have been Christians for many years, and their desire is to continue to grow. Sitting there and going through the 2-7 series, and instead of having the attitude that this isn't important to me, to sit there and say, this is helping me sharpen some skills. This is helping me move up just another notch. The idea of not being satisfied that I've reached a plateau of status quo with other people around me, but I want to be sharper. I want to be stronger. I want to do more. We look at some of the athletes that are out there and we say, these guys are obsessed. You know, they work out and they study tape and they do all these things and they keep on working at it and they keep on doing this and they get trainers to work them over and they get all these things so they can be the best in their field. Why is we as church members and as body of Christ don't care about that? We don't care about being as sharp as we can. We don't care about having the most equipment that we can have to impress God with how we want to serve Him. There is a day when we'll stand before Him and He says, what have you done with what I've given you? And it should motivate us to say, I need to improve in these areas. I can't just sit there and say, well, I'm caught up to this person. I'm doing pretty good. We should have that zeal of wanting to constantly improve and be dependent upon each other for that purpose. The greatest environment for improving is in our local church. Verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians says this, and He Himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? How do you give these different individuals? So that they can lead, and so they can be the ones to do the ministry, and so they can be the ones that, tell everybody what to do. No, verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, so that the people who have placed their faith in Christ will recognize their purpose in God of belonging. That part of that purpose is the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ might be edified. To recognize that my role is not to do the work of the ministry, although I do the work of the ministry. My role is to equip others to do the work of the ministry. And you know what? I'll stand accountable before God as to how much ministry I've done and how much I have made available the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. But you'll stand accountable too for what ministry you've done. And if you've chosen to say, well, that's not an important part of my life and it's just not me, you're going to have to explain that, not to me. You have to explain that to Jesus Christ. And say, I know I have this talent. I put it in a coffee can, stuck it in the ground. But hey, a lot of other people did too. You love that argument. Well, everybody else is doing it. Or everybody else isn't doing it. It doesn't work for parents very well, and it certainly won't work for Jesus Christ. We ought to have a desire to be equipped so that we can be a part of the edifying process. Here's some of the things, and I don't have time to go on each one of them, but look at this list. We build each other by loving each other, by encouraging each other, by warning each other. Don't underestimate the importance of warning. You have another believer that has come to you and talked to you about an area of Scripture that they're concerned about that you might be violating. Don't take that lightly. That's part of the function of the body of Christ, that we are there, and that's one of the benefits of being warned. Many times we as believers don't like that part, but that's the part that helps us be sharp. Being equipped, being corrected, being taught, being mentored, counseled, helped, prayed for, listened to, supported. All those things are functions of a local church. God has designed for these type of things to be happening. Nearly 50 times God uses the phrase, do this for one another. God doesn't intend for us to be isolated. He intends for us to work together and to be encouraged one for another. When the church is doing this type of stuff, great things happen. But when we just use the plus sign and that's all we want, show up every once in a while, we miss out on some of the other functions that could impact our lives. And that's the final one we want to look at. What is the result? I use the word bridge. Acts 1:8. Jesus is again talking to the disciples before this Acts chapter 2 that we read. He says, here's the promise. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, the end of it, and of the end of the earth. Basically, all that's given is a geography lesson. They knew what he was talking about. We don't know it that much. But essentially, he's talking about, you know, in your backyard, in your community, in the surrounding communities, in the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what he's saying. Is that your impact will be just like when a stone hits the water and the concentric circles start moving their way out. That the impact of God will start right closest to you and continue to work its way out. So many times we want to have the impact someplace else. You know, let's go 50 miles away and do some kind of mission trip or whatever. But God wants the impact to be right in our own backyard and to have it reverberate out. That the people who are closest to us ought to be the ones most touched by what's going in our life. In Acts chapter 17, verse 6, it's talking about that concentric circle moving towards the outside. And they're concerned about what's going on as they start getting into European areas. It says, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Wouldn't it be something if people thought that way about us? We've been identified as opposed to just people who are fighting for this and fighting that or the far this or the far that. That they understand us as individuals who have impacted the world, that have turned it actually upside down. Not that we whined and complained about a lot of things, but that we actually had genuine impact. That people's lives were so changed, communities were so changed, that it was described as turning the world upside down. Now that is radical. I have never seen in my lifetime where Christians have said such an impact where people would use that kind of phraseology. For the most part, from the world's perspective, the Christians are pretty lame. Very little power, very little impact. But this is their idea of impact. They're saying, man, Christians are coming. You know, they turned the world upside down wherever they've been. They're going to come here and they're going to turn our lives around too. And that's the type of impact. If the body of Christ is doing what it's supposed to be doing, where we're interdependent upon each other and we constantly are working and improving each other, the impact will be so great. Impact would involve things of evangelism, genuine fellowship, not just getting together and spending some time together, the genuine sharpening of each other. As the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so does the good fellowship of fellow believers sharpen each other. The teaching not just for knowledge's sake. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. If we just get knowledge and we just get all this information, God says that's just a puffing thing. You know, I know a lot about the Bible. You know, I can quote so many verses, all this kind of stuff. But if I don't have love, I'm missing the boat. I'm not putting it into action. The purpose of knowledge is so that you can put it to good use. I don't care how much a guy knows about cars if I bring my car into this place. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, I don't work on cars. He gets my hands dirty. I don't like the grease underneath my fingernails. What good is that person to me? He's telling me all he is about cars, he's not going to work on it. What good is a Christian to God if all we do is get a bunch of information? We're not willing to do anything with it. Well, I don't want to talk to anybody. You know, that's kind of scary. I don't want to share it with anybody. I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian. Giving, serving, worship, all these things taking place, what impact it would have on our homes, our neighborhood, our school, our workplace. Using all the functions. Here's some just application element in regard to how we're doing this. Identifying through baptism, church membership, attending services, to where we are linking together with other believers. I just got to encourage you that, you know, you are a part of the body of Christ if you place your faith in Jesus Christ. But so much said in the New Testament about the importance of the local church. And I just encourage you to consider the impact of identifying with your local church through church membership. If you've never been identified with Jesus Christ through baptism, to consider that. If being regular in your attendance is not there, that you consider that so you can be identified, so you can accomplish more things for God. Interdependence. That involves so many different areas of what we do, but one of those key areas is being available to spend time with other believers. In the fellowship area, spending time by having people over to your house, spending time by getting to know them, getting involved with our Supper for Eights, getting involved with our adult Bible fellowships, getting involved with the small group studies that we have, the discussion groups, taking time to look through when we get the directory. It's coming one of these days. They tell me that, right? Directory's coming. When the directory comes, got all those pictures in it. Look in the pictures and say, hey, I don't know that person. I'm going to make it my goal to try to find out more about them. Spending time after the morning worship service instead of boom, out of the door, hanging around a little bit and seeing if maybe I'll see somebody and get to know them and talk to them, find out we might have something in common. Getting together over coffee, whatever it might be, the elements of fellowship to see what those interdependence things are and how it works. Improvement. Getting involved with those things that are going to help you be sharp. And one of those things are accountability groups. The 2-7 series, the accountability groups we have going on, even what we're doing with the 40 Days of Purpose, designed to help us improve and to be sharpened for God. Impact, ministry. You know, as a church, if you read a philosophy of ministry, and I hope you read the philosophy of ministry, it's in our annual report. If you're not reading the annual report, you ought to read the annual report, find out what's going on here. But the philosophy of ministry, one of the things that we say is that we consider a biblical Christian, one who wants to follow biblical patterns as we look through the Scriptures, is one who gets together with other believers and worships, you know, is one who gets together with other believers for the purpose of fellowship and being strengthened, is an individual who's involved with some form of accountability with other believers, and is involved with some form of service. That's four areas, okay? That's four areas, if you look at it from the vantage point. Someone who worships with other believers, someone who fellowships with other believers, someone who is accountable with other believers, and someone who serves. That's not that intense. If we start looking at how beneficial that is to our life, and that's essentially when we talk about belonging, when we're talking about using all the functions and getting the most out of our church and not being stuck with just using the plus sign, not just being involved just with the get-together and listen to Scott talk time, but that we really get ourselves plugged in. We start realizing the benefits of interdependence upon others, the benefits of my life being improved by other believers, the benefit of me having an impact and accomplishing more things. And I just want to encourage you that that's God's design. That you truly understand. And one of the things that helped me so much, I started this message with an introduction about my life. When I first started going to church, one of the things that helped me so much is that whenever the doors were opened, I showed up. You know, I would go to whatever activity they had. You know, they had Sunday school. I came to Sunday school. They had Sunday morning. I went to Sunday morning. They had Sunday night. I went to Sunday night. They had a youth group. I went to youth group before Sunday night. They had Wednesday night prayer meeting. I went to Wednesday night prayer meeting. They had once a month youth rallies, and I would go to the youth rallies. And I would even take work off work on Saturday, which was a premium time, and my boss didn't like it, but I thought it was so important. And I got to tell you, that was so essential to my life. To help me to have the grounding in my life and to feel like I belong. It was the first time in my life that, other than my family that had to accept me, but the first time in my life that I felt like I belonged with a group of people. And it wasn't necessarily because all of them were just like me. I was the only one of my kind there, basically. And I can tell you what that is some other time. I'm not going to tell you up here, but I'm the only one of my kind. I was just very unique in this group. But they accepted me. They plugged me in. They got me involved. I mean, some of my service was sitting and licking envelopes so they could send out the newsletter because I just wanted to be involved. Because it felt like I was a part of the group. And I just want to encourage you that you don't have to do things the same exact way I do, but I do believe that you need to be working on making sure there's an identification taking place, that there's an understanding of the interdependence of the local church, and having a desire and an action to improve your life and making sure your life has some impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things I can tell you are scriptural. How you play them out, that's up between you and God. And we as a church are doing what we can to make those possibilities there so that you can be involved. But you've got to make some decisions. You've got to determine that you want to be involved with certain things. And Blair Ridge Baptist Church isn't where Blair Ridge Baptist Church needs to be, but we've got a plan. And we are working step by step, and people have been putting forth a lot of effort over the last two and a half years to be a church that fulfills the needs of these four things that we've talked about. And I just want to encourage you that we're doing what we can. We want to encourage you to do what you can so that we can have this interdependence and accomplish things for Jesus Christ.